Amen. Ain't you glad you saved this morning? Amen. All right. Romans chapter number 6. Stand if you're willing and able to do so. I'll read one verse, and it's a verse we'll get to here in just a moment. We didn't make too much headway on this. Really got the first point preached, and I've got three. I want to settle in on the second one, if the Lord will help us, and we may just leave it there at that this morning. The Bible said in verse number 17, "But God be thanked, but God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And we said as we opened this up on Tuesday night that when you think about a sermon, and we don't necessarily preach to the season. Sometimes the Lord lets us do that. We don't just do it because it's on the calendar. But if you was to think about where would a preacher go to preach a quote-unquote Thanksgiving message, Romans 6 would not be one of those places that you would think about. But right here in the middle of all of it, the Apostle Paul said, "But God be thanked." And so I want to continue that thought. The title or thought of the message is just simply lifting that phrase, "But God be thanked." Amen. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege to enter into this place. Lord, it's been so special to our heart, Lord, in days and months and weeks and weekends. And Lord, throughout these last 10 years, you've been helping us here in this place. I'm thankful this morning for the good, sweet Spirit of God that we feel. Lord, we know that, Lord, we don't have to be, Lord, jumping over pews and, Lord, running aisles to have a sense of the presence of the Lord. But, Lord, we're thankful this morning, Lord, for that sense of His presence we felt here when we walked through the doors this morning, the early prayer room, and Lord, throughout the Sunday school hour and the song service, Lord, how thankful we are, Lord, that you've been among your people this morning. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would do a work in this place, Lord, now, the next few moments. Would you help us, Lord, as we sit around and in the Scripture? I pray, Lord, that you would stir our heart and, Lord, stir us to gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness. Lord, I ask you this morning, Lord, for those that may be here today that are still in sin and have never been delivered, have never been saved, have never, Lord, bowed their knee, Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, would you, Lord, would you do something, say something, Lord, touch him in some kind of way that would get their attention. May today be a glorious day of redemption for them. Lord, I pray this morning you do a work of revival in the heart of our church. Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, for everything that you do, how you help us. And Lord, we'll sure be thankful, Lord, for it throughout the afternoon and Lord, the evening and Lord, even in the upcoming week, Lord, just help us in some way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Real quickly this morning, as we give consideration the book of Romans, in particular this one verse, it is needful to understand the impact of the statement that Paul is making, "But God be thanked," to understand that thus far he has been dealing with that awful and dreadful subject of sin. He began that going all the way back into chapter number 1 through chapter number 5. And he lays out some indictments concerning the greatest issue in the heart and life of mankind. That is, my friend, our issue is not a political issue. It is not a social issue. It is not an issue on which side of the tracks that we are born into. But the issue of all mankind, no matter what continent you put your foot on, no matter what family you're born into, no matter your upbringing and your upraising, the greatest issue for all of mankind is an issue of sin. And so the Apostle Paul, in the opening five chapters, he deals with and give several insights into our relationship to sin. He'll tell us about man's start in sin. You see that in chapter number 5, where he begins at the very fountainhead of sin in the human race. And that is that by one man's sin, the sin of Adam, one man's sin, and one man's disobedience, all are made sinners. And so man's start in sin begins in Genesis chapter number 3. And begins with the father of us all, that one that my friend chose rebellion against obedience and chose to go with Satan over the ways of God. My friend plunged us and began us in this relationship with sin, and the fact that we're born into this world, this start in sin, we are started in it. In our very conception, in the very moment of our birth, we realize that there is none righteous, Paul was saying in chapter number 3, no, not one. And there's not one good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, and there's none that understandeth that man start in sin. It's a dreadful start, and it began in the Garden of Eden for the whole of humanity. It began in our life, and in our relationship with sin, began even in the moment of conception. We understand that when children are born, babies are born. Somebody say, man, we had our second grandbaby this week. But little Joanna was born in sin, conceived in sin. David said, did my mother conceive me? We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Sin lies within every one of us. That is man's start in sin. You're not born good and then turn out bad. You're born bad, amen, and you'll stay bad apart from the grace of God. And so man start in sin. He'll deal with man's slide into sin. In a lot of ways, maybe we could deal with this in the opening 5 chapters. But in chapter number 5, here's what Paul said about sin. He said, sin has been reigning since Adam. And it reigned from Adam to Moses and Moses to where? The days of Paul was when he wrote it, and may I say, sin has been reigning every day for the last 6,000 years. But here's what Apostle Paul said about our own personal life. He said, where sin did abound, can I say this morning? Amen. We was all born bad, born sinners, born unrighteous. But the longer you live in this life, man is not on an upward trajectory. Man is on a downward slide. Evolution said man is getting better all along. We know that's a lie. Man's not getting better. Man's getting worse. In a sinful state. Amen. We don't believe in evolution. We believe in devolution. That man, my friend, is getting worse and worse all the time. Here's what Paul told Timothy: evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Amen. Man, slide into sin. You stay in sin long enough, and sin will wreck and ruin your life. It'll pull you down. It won't push you up. And man has a slide, a downward slide. Into sin, and Paul deals with that in the opening 5 chapters. He deals with man scoffing at sin. All the way back in chapter number 1, we find that man begins to scoff at the idea of sin. He thinks his sin is no big deal. He thinks his sin and how he lives, and it's just a casual thing. It's something that old fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned King James Bible-thumping preachers make a big deal about, but then it ain't all a big a deal as they say it is. And so what do they do? What are they doing in our hour? They're scoffing at sin. They, my friend, call good evil and evil good. They've turned upside down every ounce of morality that God has spoken forth in his word, and they scoff and they scorn
at sin as though it is a lying thing. I'd be careful this morning running with this world and all their scoffing of sin. Amen. Scoffing of righteousness. Scoffing of righteous and holy living. Amen. That tells me this world has the problem in a relationship with sin that Paul and the Word of God is indicting mankind with. And then the sad part of all of this, Paul will deal with man's standing in sin. That mankind in his sin stands in absolute utter judgment of God. That the wages of sin is going to be death. He'll say in the last verse of chapter number 6, he'll deal with it in chapter number 5, that in the disobedience of Adam, that many were made sinners, and because of that disobedience, death had to come upon Adam, and because it has come upon Adam, and we're all sinners in Adam, we're all, my friend, guilty of that death that Brother Tim talked about in his lesson this morning, of the threefold death of man in sin. He dies physically, he dies spiritually, and he dies eternally. And the Apostle Paul is going to deal with that and remind us that there is a payday someday. That you are started in sin, there's nothing you can do about that. That you're sliding into sin, that's part of the human race. That you may have even counted it to be a light thing and scoffed at the very thought of your own sin. But there is a standing that every man, woman, boy, and girl has in sin before God today. And that is that you are worthy of and deserving of and destined for the wrath of Almighty God against your sin. Amen. And I know the world don't want to hear that. I understand the world wants to, my friend, have an all-loving Jesus that never gets angry. Do you understand the Bible said the Lord is angry with the wicked every day? Every day the Lord is angry with the wicked. I'm glad he's an all-loving Jesus. Nobody will love a sinner like Jesus does. But at the same time, he's angry with us, and his law is set against us. And because of our sin, and because of our rebellion, and because of our standing and our sin nature, my friend, everybody who is in sin today has a standing in sin before Almighty God, that hell will be your home. That judgment is all you have to look forward to. Hey, I say this relationship with sin is what Paul has emphasized, and all of mankind would continue to be connected to this relationship with sin. But for what God has done for you and for me and for mankind through Christ by his grace. And so with all of that in mind, no wonder the Apostle Paul said, but God be thanked. Amen. I'd still be where I started, but God be thanked. I'd still be sliding in sin, but God be thanked. I'd still be scoffing as though sin were no big deal, but God be thanked. Amen. I'd still be standing in my sin. Amen. Headed the great white throne judgment. Amen. To be banished from the presence of God into eternal hell fire forever and forever. But God be thanked. Why? Because God came to where we were, and through Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the message and the power of the gospel, mankind's relationship with sin can be broken. I'm glad he didn't stop with that we're all guilty and that we're all unrighteous and that there's none of us good. And I'm glad Paul went on to say, but God be thanked. And God has provided a better way. And God has sent salvation. And God has sent His Son. And there is a rescue. There is a way. And the rebellion can end. There is a way. And sin can be remedied. Are you listening today? There is a way that you and I can be delivered. And if you ever come to that conclusion, you will have to say, but God be thanked. You won't be able to pat yourself on your back. Amen. You won't be able to bow your chest out and to thank yourself for all your good works that my friend made you worthy. Oh no. Amen. You'll have to lift your hands to the Lord and say, but God be thanked. It did for me what I could have never done for myself. Amen. But God be thanked, Paul said. Amen. Thank means and conveys the idea of a grateful reflection for divine influence upon the heart. Amen. Can I say something this morning? I want to be careful. I don't want you to think I'm adding anything to the Scripture. And God's simple plan of salvation is just simply, repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That is God's simple plan for mankind's redemption. Can I say this morning, and I think I can say it from the Word of God, that in all of that, that this morning there is a work that goes on in the heart of a sinner in that moment of salvation, whereby you cannot be saved without being thankful. See, when I was preached and dealt with and convicted about my relationship with sin, it brought a condemnation on me, but those preachers in the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, amen, began to point me to the Lord who made the way and showed me the way of eternal salvation. Amen. And when He did that, there was something on the inside that said, I'm thankful that He made a way. I'm thankful that He paid the price. I'm thankful that He has revealed all of this to me. Amen. You say you got any Bible for that? I'm so glad you asked, because if I didn't, you couldn't listen to me. But I got Bible. Look with me in Romans chapter number 1. As Paul is dealing with that common grace that is poured out upon all men, that God would manifest Himself, amen, to lonely sinners like you and to me. Amen. Oh, are you listening? God, He said in verse number 19, the last phrase, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things, verse number 20, of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, don't miss it now, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Amen. Neither were they thankful. Oh, they had a manifestation of the Lord. They knew God in the sense that He had been preached to them, that the gospel had been given to them. They could look around even in creation and understand that there was a God. And by preaching and by the message in the church, amen, they could know that God had made a better way for them. But they were not thankful. They did not glorify the message. They did not glorify the God of the message. And Paul said, neither were they thankful. And then what happened? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do y'all see there is a measure of unthankfulness, amen, in the heart of sinners today? Amen. Oh, they already don't think their sin isn't that big of a deal. And when you give them the gospel and you tell them, here's how bad, that God hated your sin, that He sent His own Son. to be crucified on an old rugged cross, to be bled out, to suffer the shame and the agony, and to bear the burden of your sin. God the Father punished His own Son. Oh, man, friend, I'm telling you, hey, man, if there is nothing in you that is stirred and be thankful for that, then you cannot be saved. Amen. It was a glad day when I realized what I was and what God did. It made me thankful God did what I could never do. Amen. Amen. Are y'all in the building? Divine, a grateful reflection for divine influence upon the heart. That's why there's so many reprobates in our day. Well, I was born the way I am. That ain't what God said. Amen. God said you was born a sinner. God said you're in trouble. Amen. God said you must repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And yet, my friend, they're not thankful for what God has done. And so their heart and their imagination begins to be vain. Their heart begins to be darkened and the slide into sin gets worse and the scoffing at sin gets worse. And the point that Paul said in the book of Romans chapter number 1, that God just simply has to turn them over to their own reprobate mind. Their mind is callous. I'm getting ahead of myself. Their mind has reached a place of ingratitude and unthankfulness for what God has done, and they might be saved, that they turn out to be reprobate. Boy, I'm glad I ain't in that number. Amen. I'm glad that, amen, the message resounded in my heart this morning as we, along with the Apostle Paul, from this single verse, cry out, but God be thanked. Amen. The sinner will never do that. Amen. That one, that man friend, is entrenched in their sin and doesn't realize how bad it is and what an awful cost that God made. Amen. To provide them salvation. They'll never have a grateful reflection or that divine word for that work of God's grace at Calvary that provided a way where the heart of man would be broken from the chains of sin for the rest of us and realize what we were. They realize what we started out as. We realize how bad a shape we was in. Amen. We quit our scoffing. We knew the condemnation of our standing in sin. And we believed on Christ with all our heart. We believed that He died and was buried and rose for our justification and our redemption. And in repentance, we turned from our sin and embraced the only one who can save us. We cry aloud today, but God be thanked. I'm not in sin. I would still be in sin, but God be thanked. My life would still be a wreck. God be thanked. I'd still be in judgment. God be thanked. And if you're saved today, you are thankful. Amen. So in this verse, as we live from it, I got to hurry. Amen. I don't have to hurry. I want to hurry. So we'll see if, amen, that meets somewhere with your attention span. Amen. But notice with me this morning in this single verse, Paul gives you and I at least three things that God has done and is doing that we should be thankful for, that we should gratefully reflect upon. Realize this is the work of God in our heart. Number one, I'll not say much about it. We elaborated on it on Tuesday night of this past week. If you wasn't here, go back and listen to it. But we said, number one, we ought to be grateful and thankful for our freedom in grace. Our freedom in grace. For Paul said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Then you say, well, why would I need to be thankful that about this? It's all in, and it's so important, the wording of the King James Bible. Amen. But God be thanked that you were. He deals with a past standing that we had. but it's something that is past. It's something that has been rolled over. It's something that you used to be, but when he said that you were the servants of sin, he is saying not only what you were, but he's telling you that you are no longer that in this moment of time. And I say this morning, in Christ and in his grace, I'm saying, but God be thanked for the freedom I have in grace. I'm no longer the servant of sin. I'm no longer the servant of sin. You need to listen to that. I'm no longer the servant of sin. Amen. I'm glad Jesus broke the chains of sin. Amen. Sin was my problem. Amen. But I'm no longer the servant of sin. I didn't say I don't sin. I said I'm no longer the servant of sin. I love how our dear hero who's done outrun us and is with the Lord today, Brother Billy Mitchell, used to say, amen, he said, some of y'all say that when you get saved, you'll be sinless. He said, getting saved won't make you sinless, and it'll make you sin less. Somebody say, man, I agree with what Brother Tim said this morning. I don't have to sin, but I'm telling you, I'm ashamed to tell you today, amen, that there are days, there are times, there are moments where, amen, I choose to do things that I shouldn't do. There are things that come up out of my heart that shouldn't come up out of my heart. And can I remind you this morning, there has been a change in my life. I'm no longer the servant of sin. Amen. I'm sinning less. Thank God. Amen. Jesus gives me power over sin. Amen. I'm a servant of righteousness. I am a servant of that is good. Amen. Because of what Jesus did in giving me freedom over sin. That's exactly right. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, you're saved by grace, but once you're saved, hey, you better work real hard now and keep yourself saved. Oh, rubbish, friend. What a detrimental teaching of the payment that Christ made for our sin. Amen. What a downplay of the grace of God. I'm glad grace got me in. I'm glad grace keeps me saved. I can never go back to be what I used to be. Amen. Because of the work and the grace of God. I were one of them servants of sin, but I'm glad for the freedom that I have in the grace of God. God changed my position. Amen. Years ago, there were some things I used to struggle on in understanding in the Word of God. Until men like Brother Sammy Allen and Brother Fane Jordan and Brother Milton Taylor come by and they began to teach, and I'm watching people downplay this in this hour, and they are so foolish to do so. Amen. Brother Milton Taylor come through years ago and he taught us positional truth. Amen. Positional truth. Amen. And all that simply means is that in Christ, I'm saying it, in Christ I am perfect. In Christ I am complete. There's nothing more and less than I could ever be than what Christ made me in the very moment of my salvation. And I think when Paul is saying here, he's trying to get the Roman church to understand what they are positionally, that God has changed your position. You're no longer the servant of sin. And now we've got to apply that into our practical daily life. Amen. Living out what we've been made in Jesus to be. And there's been freedom over sin. I no longer have to sin. I no longer have to be in bondage to that. And I can yield my body and the members. I'm preaching again, and I don't mean to. Amen. I'm trying to thank God for the freedom I have in grace. Amen. I can yield my life. Amen. To the power of Christ and the position I am seated in right now in heavenly places in Christ. And I can live that out in my daily life. I do not have to sin. I thank God, but God be thanked. Amen, but God be thanked. Amen, for our freedom in grace. Number two, let me spend a few moments on this. Amen, but God be thanked for our feeling about grace. Amen. Notice what the Bible said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. The heart of man and the Word of God is that place where the human will and emotion resides. The heart is not speaking of the physical organ that is pumping blood in your body. He's not talking about a physical organ. He's talking about the heart of man, the center of man, the very essence of man, where you feel, where you think, where you decide, where decisions are made, where things touch you the most. Amen. Not a touch on your skin, not a poke with a stick, but man, friend, the very heart, the very inward being, that place of human emotion. Paul said, but God be thanked. Hallelujah. Where did this work of grace take place in? Are y'all ready? It took place in the heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus didn't come down and give us a bunch of outward rules and regulations. He came to bring about, and I'm not saying there aren't laws, and I'm not saying there aren't regulations, but the work of grace is not it's not a work that begins on the outside, but it's a work that begins on the inside, and what begins on the inside begins to explode to the outside, amen, so that you can't even tell where the inside and the outside begin and end. Paul said, I tell you why you ought to thank God. Because he did a work in your heart. It's in the heart where your rebellion resided. It's in the heart is where your ungratefulness was at. It's in the heart where the seeds of sin had been sown and produced its fruit in the outward manifestation of your drunkenness and your adultery and your witchcraft and your striving and your railings and your cursings and your lyings and your thievings and your idolatries. It all was sown and produced in the heart. But I'm going to tell you something. When God came and poured His grace, let His grace appear to you, that grace that bringeth salvation that appears to all men, because God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And my friend, the work of grace is done in the heart of man. It begins to change the very passions of man, of the things he one time loved with all of his heart, he now begins to despise. The things at one time his heart hated, he now embraces in love. The very Savior he one time ignored, amen, the very gospel he one time had his heart closed off to, the very sins in his heart had been opened unto and embraced at, and found the pleasures of sin but for a season. Those were all enjoyed because he loved darkness rather than light, because his deeds were evil. Where did he love his sin? He loved it in his heart. Buddy, I'm telling you, God is to be thanked because he changed in grace and in salvation. He began to change our passions. I feel differently about God this side of salvation than I did the other. I feel differently about the Holy Scriptures. Y'all ought to be pitching babies. Amen. I feel different about the Holy Scriptures, Brother Jake, since I've been saved than before I got saved. I feel different about the songs that's been sung around here, this side of grace, than I did the other. I feel different about church and going to church, amen, on this side of grace than I did the other. Amen. I feel different about the people of God this side of salvation. And I did in my rebellion and my hatred. And it bent up in my heart all the bitterness against people and against religious folk. You know, I feel different about it this morning than I used to. You say, what made the difference? Grace made all the difference. And God did a work in my heart and made me feel different about grace. Amen. Amen. This is a problem for sinners, and this hour holds your place in Romans 6. I'm nearly done. Let me read you a few verses from Ephesians chapter number 4. Here's what Paul said to you and I. This I say therefore and testify, verse 17, in the Lord. He's writing to believers. He said that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their where? Heart. Notice what verse number 19 said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that is, are y'all ready? Lawless living. So what is lasciviousness? It is lawless living. It is, I can do anything I want to do and God loves me and he'll have to forgive me for it. Lasciviousness. It's lawless living that gets itself in sin and won't judge that sin. Amen. And then think they're a theologian and start quoting scripture to everybody else about how they have to treat them because the Bible said so. Are y'all listening? Lasciviousness is lawless living under a religious disguise. But Paul said, amen, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul said, here is the problem in a sinner's heart, that they are past feeling. Brother Tim, that just simply means if I can bear it out, it means that they have become apathetic. It's no big deal. I do what I want to do. I don't care what anybody says about it. I don't care what mom and daddy say. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the church thinks. Sound me like you're past feeling. You're apathetic. To become apathetic, it has the idea or the meaning to be insensible. Oh, you got to hear this. Insensible to shame. We're living in a world of no shame. The Bible said that when God made man, and I'll illustrate it, this is the first, in fact, the first idea of the idea of shame and being unashamed and how shame was introduced into the world. Bible said when God made man and then he made Adam, we know that Adam, man was alone. It was not good. God said that man be alone. He made Eve. He brought Eve to Adam. The Bible said they both were naked and were not ashamed. Genesis 3, when man sinned, their eyes were open, and they listened, their husband and wife, they're married, and yet when their eyes were open, the Bible said they knew they were naked. And Adam said, I felt something, and Lord, the only way I can describe it is shame. We're living in a world that's past feeling of that anymore. Amen. People strive to wear the least amount of clothes they can wear. I'm glad winter's coming. Somebody help me. Amen. And it don't even matter anymore because some of you women wear your yoga britches. Come on now. Now, oh, we might as well just get her on out. Amen. We got these butt huggers now. And I'm going to tell you something. It's like there's no shame about it anymore. What is wrong with the human race? They've got past feeling. They've reached a place where they have become insensible to shame. They don't know nothing about shame anymore. That's why they can be drunks. They have no shame about it. I am what I am. It's what I do. Are y'all listening? They can get right. I'm about to preach. Say, what's all this got to do with God be thanked? Just hang on. Amen. Just hang on. Amen. They can swap wives, live in adultery and fornication, be addicted to pornography. Now they, listen, a lot of that in days gone by, at least in America, there was a time where if you did engage in those things, you tried to keep it a secret. Now it's almost bragged on. I'm a man. You ain't a man, you're a sinner. Amen. No shame over it. So why are you preaching this way? All I got to tell you, that's where I was. Insensible to shame, apathetic to anything that was honorable, anything that was righteous, anything that was godly, apathetic to everything that was holy. When the grace of God came into my life, thank God it did a work in my heart. It did a work in the place where my emotions are, where I feel about things. Those things I one time loved, them things at one time when I was a 17-year-old boy, I couldn't wait to get out of daddy's house. Oh, I can, man, friend, live it up and do what I wanted to do. Amen, to do the things I thought that I would one time love. When God saved me, hallelujah, as the change took place on the inside, and Brother Jack, he changed, he did a change in my passion. I thank God, amen, for how he worked in my life about my feelings about grace. Somebody said, well, you know, that grace stuff y'all preach, that once saved, always saved, it gives people a license to sin. I never preached that. How in the world you come to this church any amount of time and think, hey, man, we give people a license to sin? Grace does not lower the standard, it raises the standard. Grace makes me want to live for God. Not because you put me in a corner, not because you make me feel bad. You can't make me feel bad about living right. You can't make me feel bad about living right. I want to live right. I want to do right. I want to please the Lord. There's something on the inside that has a feeling that wants to do what's right. So how do you get that? God's got to do a work down in here. Amen. You put every standard and every rule, and you got to be raised with a few or you'd wind up a fool. Amen. We got to have some standards and rules. But you listen to what I'm going to say. If God don't do a work in some of y'all's heart, you in for a long road. You don't let God change the way you feel about your sin, you're in for a long road. If you don't let God change how you feel about this blessed old black book, But Carl, if they some don't let God change the way they feel about that book, they're in for a long road. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm just telling you, God be thanked He provided a way that that change can take place. Hallelujah. I didn't mean for this. It's supposed to be just a little Tuesday night Thanksgiving midweek 20-minute sermon. It's turning into a 3-part series. Somebody say amen. All I'm telling you is I'm thankful to the Lord for what He's done. And if He's done it in you, you're thankful too. You say, like what He said. You know what your problem is? You're unthankful. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to stir you this morning. If that's your attitude, then your feeling has never been changed. That's how I acted. Now, I wouldn't dare do that like you wouldn't. I've had some bold enough in 20-something years of preaching. Do it physically. Slam their Bible shut. Slam it down. Mad. I never did do that on the outside. But I did it down in here a lot. If that is going on the inside, hey, you need to let the Lord do a work of grace in your life. If you got feelings of anger and agitation and scoffing in your heart about what's been preached here today, then you do not know the grace of God. So, well, we all got different ways of viewing things, not when it comes to that book. When I preach, you come straight out of the book. I don't know how many verses we've read and quoted and looked at and explained today. It's all been straight out of the Bible. You don't get to feel, you can feel how you want to feel, but you don't get to feel how you want to feel and be right with God. There's only one way to feel about that book right there. And that is, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, how sinners need to let God change the way they feel. Amen. Are you past feeling? You don't have to leave here today. That word past feeling, if you study it out, deals with getting hardened and calloused to the point that you are impenetrable to truth. Are y'all listening? You keep saying, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Every time you do that, I hate the Bible. I hate God's people. I hate old time religion. I hate holy living. What you do, you build up a resistance in your heart where callous builds on top of callous. To where truth becomes impenetrable and you'll never be thankful. You'll bust hell wide open being an ingrate. Amen.